Welcome to another episode of the AAA Northeast Podcast. Well, hello, everyone. My name is John Paul. I'm AAA's car doctor, and this is another AAA Car Conversations With. And in this case, the AAA Car Conversations With is with Megan McKernan. She is the manager of automotive engineering and the Automotive Research Center for the AAA in Southern California. Megan, welcome to AAA Car Conversations.
Thanks for having me, John. Appreciate it.
Well, every year, you folks put out a different version. I shouldn't say that, a different version of the car guide. It was the green car guide for a bunch of years, and now it's just turned into the car guide. But can you tell us about the car guide? And I actually happen to have one right here.
Oh, and I was going to do the same thing.
And tell us about kind of the purpose of it, why you put it together, and how you're helping to try to educate consumers and our members about car buying.
Sure. So as you mentioned, this guide actually started as the Green Car Guide, that we launched that back in 2010. And the focus of that book was only on green vehicles, so EVs, hybrids, plug-ins, etc. And starting for the 2020 version, we decided that we wanted to expand that. So we include green vehicles, but in addition to that, we're also including vehicles that are either completely redesigned or an all new model for the given model year. And one of the primary focuses that we have for that as well is safety. So every vehicle that we test has to include at least one ADAS feature. So that could be automatic high beams, it could be blind spot monitoring, lane keeping assist, et cetera. And the book focuses on a lot of things. It focuses on safety, focuses on the latest and greatest technologies in the automotive space. We also include information on studies that AAA does on various ADAS systems, fuel economy, and other things that we do research on. And then, of course, you know, the bulk of the book is the reviews of all the vehicles that we've tested.
And some of that information is critical to car buying, but some of it's just plain, real interesting common sense, like the idea of you know, not using premium fuel in a car that doesn't need it. And, you know, the Automotive Research Center did a lot on that. A lot of, you mentioned the ADAS systems, the automatic driver assistance systems, and you folks in conjunction with AAA National did a lot of research on kind of the ones that work better than others for a while. And I remember seeing a video of a motorcycle going by a blind spot monitor and it missed the motorcycle. Or some of the testing that you folks did, and you had this sort of foam car that apparently you got really good at putting back together when some of the braking systems didn't work quite as well as others.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's, you know, really been a focus, as you mentioned, you know, aside from the book, and we include the information in the book, but really a focus for the Automotive Research Center and working with AAA National is looking at these systems and not trying to say, you know, manufacturer A is better than manufacturer B. That's not our goal, but our goal is really to look at the systems in whole and see how do they work. What do our members need to know about these systems? They're great, you know, they're great systems. We really advocate for the manufacturers to include them more and more on vehicles, but they aren't foolproof and you still have to be an engaged driver and you can't rely on the systems. So yes, in the guide, we do include information on a lot of those studies. We've done stuff on pedestrian detection systems. As you mentioned, the automatic emergency braking, blind spot monitoring. We've tried to look at the whole spectrum of it. And it's not just to just do it once and set it aside. We've now gotten to the point now that's been several years where now we're going to start revisiting because systems have improved since the last time we may have tested them. So we're just going to continue to do that into the future.
Yeah, it's always fascinating when you see the technology start to develop. And I remember when lane departure warning first came out and it was going to be this sort of the next best thing next to anti-lock brakes. And it seems to be the next best thing that everybody shuts off all the time because most people find out they're really lousy drivers, and they're always kind of weaving back and forth, and it sort of almost annoys them. But in fact, it really is a beneficial system. But you have to be aware that, you know, your own driving is going to affect it. So it is pretty interesting. Can you tell us a little bit about the Automotive Research Center? I had the pleasure of going there, but can you tell us a little bit about some of the things you do there? It was a fascinating visit when I was there, and as I recall, it was a warm September day, but yet it was 25 degrees, I think, inside the research center.
Yeah. So the Automotive Research Center itself has actually been in existence since early 1900s. And then in the 60s, we started as an emissions lab when we were one of the very first in Southern California, in fact. And we've evolved to do other things, other research like we've been discussing. But kind of the, you know, focal point of our research center is the lab. And we have a full emissions laboratory where we have a four-wheel drive chassis dyno. And we can do fuel economy and emissions testing on vehicles, as well as range testing on electric vehicles. And in the test cell, we can take it all the way up to 95 degrees or bring it all the way down to 20. And that allows us to do, you know, a full range of testing. One of the projects that we've done, we looked at how temperature affects EV range as an example. Yes, that the lab that you're referring to, that's kind of the centerpiece of what we do here. And we do the studies, as we've been discussing, with AAA National. We do a lot of studies on our own as well. And really, again, our focus is on, you know, looking at fuel economy, looking at emissions, vehicle safety, obviously the car guide. We test over 40 vehicles every year. You know, really, that's what we're all about. And we're all about providing information to our members, just to make them more educated on what's going on in the automotive world and help them make car buying decisions and make them, you know, be better, safer drivers.
Yeah, absolutely. The idea of having this guide from someone you know, I mean, people know and trust AAA. So that's a big help. But you mentioned, you know, the range testing of electric vehicles. And I think everyone who owns anything that's electric, you know, whether it's your phone or your, you know, toothbrush, you kind of realize that when the weather gets cold, your phone doesn't last as long, your, you know, digital camera, the battery goes dead in it quicker. But people didn't think about the warm weather and how that shortened electric vehicle range. So there was some pretty interesting data that came out of some of those tests that you did.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
And we ended up revisiting that. You know, we did a first round of that a few years ago and we revisited it. And we really found it's not so much the temperature itself that's affecting the vehicle, but it's if you're using the HVAC system. So if you're using the air conditioning in the summer or the heater and everything else in the winter, that's really what's going to deplete that battery. So, you know, as a driver of one of those vehicles, you could, you know, help yourself out. It might make you a little bit more painful if you're driving in 100 degree weather and you're not using the AC. But if you wanted to preserve some of your range, you could just opt not to use the AC. Yeah. And so those are the kinds of things we like to learn about that. Yes, like you said, our members don't have any information, and not just our members, but the, you know, motoring public at large. So,
yeah, it really is. I drove a Chevy Bolt couple of weeks ago, and a very pleasant little electric car, and it had a range of somewhere between 190 and 240 miles. And interestingly, the seat heaters didn't really affect the range that much, but the actual heater did. And it would take it, when you turn the heater on, the mileage with the fully charged car would drop down to like 190. And when you turned it off, it would pop back up to 230. And you're like, and I'm kind of looking at that going, let's see, if I had a 200 mile trip and I wanted to do it with the heat on, I'm probably not going to make it. So yeah, it is pretty fascinating when you look at how certain systems will affect that. Now, you know, the car guide, the 2020 car guide, you also picked some of your top picks out of that. Can you tell us about some of those?
Yeah. So what we do for the guide, like I said, we evaluate over 40 vehicles in a given year, and we have carryover vehicles. So last year's guide included 50, and that's pickup trucks, sedans, hatchbacks, minivans, wide range of vehicles. And we rate all of those on several categories: visibility, entry exit, you know, ride comfort, fuel economy, etc. And then based on their category, we end up with winners. So it's, you know, not a subjective, it's very objective based on the data. The winner for last year's guide was the 2020 Volvo S90 plug-in. Very nice, large sedan, plug-in vehicle. So, you know, great on fuel economy. Doesn't have a very long all-electric range, but still very helpful if you have a short commute. And the best pickup was the GMC Sierra, and the best midsize was the Toyota Camry Hybrid. So we try to have a wide range of vehicles in the guide, which is, again, another reason why we expanded it to not only include just green vehicles, and really to include all new vehicles as well. So just trying to give our members, you know, a lot of information on a lot of choices.
And it's interesting, the top pick, the Volvo, in this day, it's sort of odd to see a sedan as a top pick when SUVs are so popular. And I'm and I'm kind of glad to see the sedan as a top pick, because I think sedans are, you know, as they're sort of fading away, as Ford decided to kind of get out of the sedan business, and you know, they follow Lincoln's suit, where Lincoln doesn't have a sedan anymore. It's kind of interesting to see that Volvo and has this fantastic sedan. And the same thing with Toyota with the Camry. The Camry is certainly one of the most popular cars made in the past couple of decades. And the idea is, as the hybrid, it becomes actually one of their quickest, better, you know, better performing cars. And it just happens to be a hybrid.
Right. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. So, and you mentioned the pickup truck category. You're in California. You're sort of in Tesla land, I guess. Mm-hmm. And I think the Tesla Model 3 is the most popular new car sold in California right now.
I know
near where I live, there's a former Navy base that has been turned into kind of mid to upscale housing sort of thing. I drove through there one day, and it seemed like all I saw was Teslas. And you know, as you look at this, you know, what's your impression of kind of the electric car market? Where's it going to go?
Well, you know, what we've been finding, you know, in our research, because we're out there looking for all these vehicles to test, I mean, everything is becoming more and more electrified, and consumers have much more choice. You know, when electric vehicles first came out, it was, everybody thought you're just going to be stuck in some small, you know, tiny little electric vehicle. And, you know, we're finding that, no, actually, and not necessarily all electric, but you find hybrids across the board, you know, minivans that are hybrids, even a plug-in like the Chrysler Pacifica. And, you know, we only see it continuing to increase. I mean, plug-ins and all electric vehicles, there's more and more choices out there. And, you know, pretty soon, apparently, we're going to have some pickup trucks with Rivian and the GMC Hummer, and of course, Tesla Cybertruck. So, and even, you know, there's talk of F-150, you know, having an electric, or at least a hybrid version. So, yeah, you're really going to continue to see that increase.
Yeah, I saw something just the other day that FedEx has 100 electric delivery vans now that they're pilot testing and trying them out. And that seems like a perfect use for that, because most of the time they're sitting more than they're going, because they're going from kind of house to house to deliver something, or business to business to deliver something. So it makes a lot of sense. There was some time back, and I've been saying it for a while, and I may have stolen it from someone else, that maybe in 20 years, a gasoline car may be as rare as a car with a manual transmission these days. And, you know, maybe that's the case as we're starting to see more and more electric cars. I didn't get to drive it for long, but I drove the new Mustang Mach-E for a couple of days, and pretty impressive vehicle.
We haven't been able to get our hands on one yet. We've been told the fleet here in Southern California that we should have one in the next couple of months. So we're looking forward to testing that one.
I still cringe at the idea of a four-door Mustang hatchback, but but somebody said to me, it's probably generational. You're probably just too old, and that's why, you know. But you look at these cars, and you look at the cars you test and how you test them, and the idea that you're putting, you know, these cars together in just a really well-done book. But it's not just a book. You can go online and you can read the digital version of it too, right?
Yes, definitely. So online we have National helps support that. We have not only the information about the guide, but a searchable database where you could go through and say, okay, I only want to see hatchbacks, or I only want to see sedans, I only want to see pickups. And, you know, it'll take you through and then it'll bring up all the information on those reviews. And then in addition to that, there's also the digital ebook that you could download and flip through the pages of that if you don't want a hard copy of the book. And that's really helped us to get this out nationwide as well.
Yeah, don't download it and print it. It's like 300 pages.
No, right.
Yeah. You'll run out of paper fast. So no, the information's pretty incredible in there. And the idea that, and you must get these comments and questions all the time when people say, well, I want to buy something new and I don't know what I want. And, you know, just the idea that you can kind of help someone with that decision. And now, of course, car buying is a personal decision. And, you know, there people like one thing or they like another. Somebody kind of, I guess, yelled at me. So they used all capital letters when they did it in an email, because I said something about the Hellcat Red Eye. And they're like, why would you talk about a car like that and then talk about a Chevy Bolt at the same time? And I'm like, well, I'm kind of happy. You know, would I ever buy a Hellcat Red Eye? Probably not, because I can't afford it. But am I glad they built it? Absolutely. As glad as they built a Chevy Bolt. Right. There's a car for everyone. But the idea that you can bring someone to the guide, or they can look it up online, and they can kind of narrow their focus down a little bit. You know, there's hundreds and hundreds of makes and models of cars out there. And the idea that when somebody says, okay, I have a $50,000 budget, what should I buy? Okay, now you've narrowed that 350 cars down to 200. There's still a lot of choices for people. And the idea that you can say, what's important to you? How important is safety? Well, it's important to everybody. You know, how important is being green, low emissions? Well, it's kind of important. Is it as important? Maybe it isn't. Okay, now we've changed the choices a little bit. How about rear seat room? How important is that to you? And the idea that, you know, the AAA car guide helps people in that buying decision when it's probably the second or third most expensive decision they're going to make in their life, you know, behind their mortgage and their kids' college.
Right.
Yeah. You don't want to make a mistake when you're buying a car, and something like the AAA car guide is a big help for that.
It is. And, you know, to your point, we really advocate for giving people choice too. Yes, not everybody can afford every car that's out there. And for some people, green is more important, but somebody might really want the big, you know, heavy duty pickup truck, and that's their choice. And, you know, we want to provide the information in the book, and we want to do it in such a way as well. You know, safety again is one of the top priorities. But even though we want to get away from calling it the Green Car Guide, again, one of the criteria is that if a vehicle is considered green, it's included in the book. Mm-hmm. And two of the categories that we rate the vehicles on are fuel economy and emissions. So we still see that as being very important. But what I think sets this guide apart from some of the other reviews that you might see is we really try to have, you know, a lot of the criteria just have to do with a vehicle being your daily driver. Is it comfortable to get in and out of? Can you see out of it front and rear? How's the ride comfort? Yes, we do acceleration testing. And yes, we, you know, We do a slalom test for these vehicles, but it's not all about, you know, it's the fastest car that's out there and it has the, you know, the greatest sounding stereo. We really are trying to get at what we think consumers are really looking at when they're making that purchase decision.
That's a really good point, because every new car feels great. The first time you get in it, it's brand new and it smells new and you're like, this is really great. But I always like to say to people, until you take it to the grocery store, or you have to park it someplace, or you have to sit in it because you got stuck in traffic for 2.5 hours, you're not really going to know what the car's like. And the idea of, you know, something that's easy to get in and out of, something that's comfortable, something that seats remain comfortable, something that the back seat has enough room, that, you know, if you have a family and you're, you know, squishing people in the second or third rows of seating, how comfortable is that for people? Knowing all of those kind of things up front helps with the buying decision. You're right. It's not just, you know, how fast it goes from 0 to 60. Yeah. 0 to 60 in 3 seconds is really, really fast, but is it really necessary? Is it nice to know? It's not, it might be nice to know for some people, but knowing that you're going to be able to get in and out of the car and not have to either push yourself up from a lower seating position or jump out of it from a higher seating position is probably a lot more important to most people than, you know, how many foot pounds of torque it has.
Oh, right.
Even though I like to know those things, but
And I do too. Right.
But I think, you know, when you look at these kind of things and you look to try to help people with your car, with their car buying decision, it's such a great resource for people to have. And the idea that it's available for free and it's online, and all you have to do is just search AAA Car Guide and it pops right up. And like you said, there it is, and it's easy to find, and you can kind of look right through the ebook version of it, and it makes it nice and easy for people.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah. So this was a 2020 version. Is there going to be a 2021 version of the Car Guide coming out soon?
There is. We are in the process of wrapping up our testing for that. And the book itself is well underway. And as of right now, we're scheduled for a late April release for the 2021 guide.
And even though I really want to know what the winner is, I won't ask.
Good, because I wasn't going to tell you anyway.
Good. And again, I just want to thank you for taking a little bit of time out of your day and joining us on AAA Car Conversations with.
Yeah, thank you so much, John. Really appreciate it. Appreciate the conversation. Nice talking to you. And of course, really nice to be able to get the word out about this really nice publication that we put out every year. So thank you so much.
Yeah, it's a phenomenal publication, and I encourage everybody to take a look at it, read it, buy it, bring it home. It's just a great publication. So, and again, thank you very much.
Thanks, John.
Thank you for listening to the AAA Northeast podcast. For more information about AAA, go to AAA.com.